ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 9, Text 11, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Tvam Bhakti Yoga Paribhavita Harit Saroje Ase Shuta Ikshita Pathaha Nanu Natha Pungsam Yat Yat Dhya Te Urugaya Vibhavayanti Tat Tat Vapuhu Pranayase Sat Anugrahaya Tvam Bhakti Yoga Paribhavita Hrit Saroja Ase Shrute Kshita Pato Nanu Nata Pungsam Yad yad dhyata urugaya vibhavayanti Tat tat vapuf pranayase sadanugrahaya Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja Ase shute kshita pato nanu nata pungsam Yad yad dhyata urugaya vibhavayanti Tat tat vapuf pranayase tat sadanugrahaya Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja
Ase shrute kshita pato nanu nata
pungsam Ase shrute kshita pato nasu nata pungsam
Yad yad dhyata urugaya vibhavayanti
Yad yad dhyata urugaya vibhavayanti Tad tad vapuf pranayase sadanugrahaya
Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja
Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja
Ase shrute kshita pato nanu nata
pungsam Ase shrute kshita pato nanu nata pungsam Yad yad dhyata urugaya vibhavayanti Tat tat vapu pranayase sadanugrahaya
Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja
Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja Ase shrute kshita pato nanu nata pungsam
Yad
yad tuyaru gurugaya nu Tat tat vapu pranayase sadanugrahaya Ladies
Tvam bhakti
Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja. Ase sudukshita pato nanunata pungsam. Yad yad vibhav rugaya vibhavayanti. Tad tad vapu pranayase sanugrahaya. Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita rit saroja. Ase sutekshita pato nanunata pungsam. Yad yad dhyata urugaya vibhavayanti. Tad tad vapu pranayase sadanugrahaya. Tvam unto you. Bhakti yoga, in devotional service. Paribhavita, being 100% engaged. Harit, of the heart. Saroje, on the lotus. Ase, you reside. Shruta, Ikshita, seen through the ear. Pathaha, the path. Nanu, now. Nata, O my Lord. Pungsam, of the devotees. Yat, whichever. Dhyā, by meditating. Te, your Urugaya, O multi-glorious. Is that word in the dictionary, Tattvavit Prabhu? If it's not, put it in. It's a neologism, seems to be. The language isn't complete and perfect enough to describe Krishna, so have to make up some words here and there. Vibhavayanti. They specifically think of. Tat. The very same. Vapuhu. Transcendental form. Pranayase. Do you manifest? Sat. Anugrahaya. To show your causeless mercy. This is Brahma praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Oh my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing, and thus their hearts become cleansed, and you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. Purport. The statement here that the Lord manifests himself before the devotee in the form in which the devotee likes to worship him indicates that the Lord becomes subordinate to the desire of the devotee, so much so that he manifests his particular form as the devotee demands. This demand of the devotee is satisfied by the Lord because he is pliable in terms of the transcendental loving service of the devotee. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Yayata mang prapadyante tang tathaiva bhajamyaham. We should note, however, that the Lord is never the order supplier of the devotee. Here in this verse, it is particularly mentioned Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita. This indicates the efficiency achieved through execution of mature devotional service, or prema, love of Godhead. This state of prema is achieved by the gradual process of development from faith to love. Verse. Ado shada tata sadhu sangha ata bhajana kriya tato tato narta nivriti syat tato nishta ruchistata ata saktis tato bhava tata prema abhyudanshati. That's it. That's 1.5 verses. There's also Shraddha Ratya Bhaktira Anukramishyati, in brief. What's the first line of that verse? Satang Prasangan. Okay, very good. 10 out of 10. On faith, one associates with bona fide devotees, and by such association, one can become engaged in bona fide devotional service, which includes proper initiation and the execution of the primary devotional duties prescribed in the revealed scriptures. This is clearly indicated herein by the words shutekshita. The shutekshita path is to hear from bona fide devotees who are conversant with Vedic wisdom, free from mundane sentiment. By this bona fide hearing process, the neophyte devotee becomes cleansed of all material rubbish, and thus he becomes attached to one of the many transcendental forms of the Lord as described in the Vedas. The attachment of the devotee to a particular form of the Lord is due to natural inclination. Each and every living entity is originally attached to a particular type of transcendental service because he is eternally the servitor of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya says that the living entity is eternally a servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Therefore, every living entity has a particular type of service relationship with the Lord eternally. This particular attachment is invoked by practice of regulative devotional service to the Lord, and thus the devotee becomes attached to the eternal form of the Lord, exactly like one who is already eternally attached. This attachment for a particular form of the Lord is called Swarup Siddhi. The Lord sits on the lotus heart of the devotee in the eternal form the pure devotee desires, and thus the Lord does not part from the devotee as confirmed in the previous verse. The Lord, however, does not disclose himself to a casual or inauthentic worshipper to be exploited. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Nahang prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavritaha. Rather, by yogamaya, the Lord remains concealed to the non-devotees or casual devotees who are serving their sense gratification. The Lord is never visible to the pseudo-devotees who worship the demigods in charge of universal affairs. The conclusion is that the Lord cannot become the order supplier of a pseudo-devotee, but he is always prepared to respond to the desires of a pure, unconditional devotee who is free from all tinges of material infection. Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja aseshu tikshita patonanunata pungsam yad yadhyata urugaya vibhavayanti tad tadva puf pranaya se sadanugrahaya. Om jnana timirandhasya jnanam janashalakaya chakshur nilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Nama shreshtam manamapi shachi putra matra surupam nirupam tasya gajamura purim maturim kushtavatim. Radha kundam girivaramaho radhika madhavasham. Prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurum tam datosmi. Vandeham Shri Guru Shriyatav Parikamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagraja Tam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishal. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is one of several Bhagavatam verses that are not so very well known or much quoted, but that have crucial points that are not discussed elsewhere or in Bhagavatam or not much discussed. One very important term here is Shrute Kshitapata, the path of seeing by hearing. Another very important term here is Sadanugraha, which Srila Prabhupada doesn't take up in the purport, but that is, Sadanugraha means real or proper kindness. And that there's a very important verse about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in which a similar statement by Swarup Damodar Goswami to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where he refers to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Amandodaya Daya, his mercy which doesn't cause any harm. Anyway, I'm not going to take up those points. Maybe in another session. But the particular point I wanted to concentrate in this session is the point that the Lord manifests Himself to devotees in different ways. Yesterday, toward the end of the talk, I spoke of different outlooks and levels within Krishna consciousness. And we see here also that although there are Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda, the Vaishnava Vrinda is constituted of unlimited devotees, but each and every one has their own individual realization. There is a similar statement here in this third canto also, in chapter 14, text 50. Svapuruṣe ca anugrihita rūpam. The Lord assumes the form desired by the devotee. Similar term is used there. Anugrihita. Anugrihita rūpam. Sadanugrahaya. That's a name for Krishna then. Sadanugraha. Sadanugraha. Now, Srila Prabhupada states in the purport there that the fact that the Lord assumes a form desired by the devotee, Srila Prabhupada writes that a devotee does not imagine something whimsical about the form of the Lord, nor does he ever think that the Lord is impersonal and assumes a form desired by the non-devotee. So it doesn't mean that because the Lord manifests Himself in form desired by the devotee, that anyone can desire to worship the Lord in any form, and that somehow or other becomes Krishna. It's not that worship of, because I think that Sai Baba is Bhagawan, therefore Bhagawan is obliged to manifest Himself in that form. Srila Prabhupada in Gita, in his Gita commentary, writes about, before I say that, I'll say that it's holy men are said to have visions of God, but we can't accept their vision of God to be bona fide or correct unless it is in line with the descriptions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead given in Shastra. Shruti Kshitapata. We have to understand it by hearing. Srila Prabhupada in a Gita commentary refers to to affective hallucination, sometimes accepted as spiritual vision. Do you all understand that? The word affective is not much known. It's not effective. Affective, it means on the sentimental or emotional platform. Affective hallucination, sometimes accepted as spiritual vision. I suspect Prabhupada was referring to Gadadhar Chattopadhyay. You know, happen to know who that is? Later known as Paramahamsa Ramakrishna. Sorry. I suspect he was because he had such visions. And he saw Kali as God and so many things. However, although it's not that anyone can think anyone and just think, well, I think that God is this and that. Sometimes there are surveys done in America. They do surveys. Well, what do you think God is? What do you think God is? In India also. What do you think? What does it matter what some banana head on the street thinks what God is? It's we have to hear from the acharyas, not from anyone. Oh, well, I think, God, yeah. Okay, that's my opinion. I am you and you are me and we are all together. Meaninglessness is accepted as very mystical insights. I am you and you are me and we are all together. Very mystical. Meaningless. We have to hear from the Shastra about Krishna, who is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, the realizations of absolutely pure devotees can differ. It's not that everyone sees Krishna the same. It's not that anyone sees anyone else the same. See here means in the sense, not exactly in terms of vision, but how we understand, how we conceptualize. Just like we all know Madhav Chandra Prabhu, who's sitting here. I know him, you know him, but exactly how we perceive, it's the same person, but we'll perceive him in a different way. And maybe by hearing, our opinion will change. Some say, well, I don't think he's... Oh no, he's very good. And then by shrute kshitapata, by hearing, we can also be influenced. Now Krishna, he has unlimited transcendental qualities and unlimited transcendental pastimes. And it's not that everyone sees him in the same way. And the fact that devotees may differ in their vision of him is not a fault, it is a glory. The fact that Mother Yashoda sees Krishna as her darling boy, even when he's out at night with the young gopis, who don't think of him as a darling child, they think of him as a lover, that's not a fault in Krishna. That's a glory of his pastimes. In Gauragano Desha Deepika of Kavi Karnapur, I'm going to read from that in English translation. Some learned devotees say that Navadvip is identical with the land of Vrindavan. Others say that Navadvip is actually the spiritual planet Goloka. Some say that Navadvip is the planet Shvetadvip, and others say that Navadvip is actually the spiritual sky of Vaikuntha. And what does Kavi Karnapur give us the conclusion? He doesn't give any conclusion. He just says, all glories to the wonderfully splendid land of Navadvip. He doesn't say, well, actually this is right. He just, the different devotees said different things. He said that I collected this information that's Gaur Ganodesh Deepika. That's a light to understand who are the Parshads, the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he took from different esteemed devotees, he took. He asked, "Who is this? Who is this in Krishna's pastime?" Then he made a list. And sometimes different people, sometimes different great devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him different things about the same person. For instance, reading again from Gaura Garnodaya Shadipika, the same person who was Maharaj Janak, the king of Mithila, appeared during Lord Chaitanya's pastimes as Vallabhacharya. Here Vallabhacharya means the father-in-law of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lakshmi Priya's father, not the Vallabhacharya who's famous in Gujarat especially. And then he goes on to say, Kavi Karanapal goes on to say, some people differ from this view and say that Vallabhacharya was an incarnation of Maharaj Bhishmaka, who was the father of Rukmini Devi. He just said, different opinions. He doesn't say this is right and that's wrong. He just said they're all great devotees, and he sees him as that. He said, how can there be two people in one? Well, no explanation. The devotees said, they must be right. Later, Vishnuraj Chakravarti Thakur gave us a similar list of the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and their positions in Krishna's pastimes, and many of them are the same, and some are different. And talking about Vallabhacharya, he has his whole sampradaya with all the major devotees, and they have a completely different list. They'll give the devotees in Krishna Leela, and they'll say he's so and so now in the pastimes with Vallabhacharya. Maybe. Krishna can do anything. Rupa Goswami in his Radha Krishna, Gonodes Deepika, speaking about the gopis, he says the direct followers of the eight principal gopis are counted in different ways. Some say they number 5,000, others say they number 4,000 or 5,000, still others say they number 3,000 or 4,000, and still others say they number 1,000. Some say that the followers of the eight principal gopis are divided into many groups, and others say they're not divided into groups at all. Some say that they are divided into 16 groups according to the nature of their love for the divine couple. Some say these gopis are divided into 20 groups. Some say that there are 25 groups. Some say there are 30 groups. Some say there are 60. And some say that there are 64 groups of gopis. Some say that this group of gopis is in turn divided into two subgroups. Others say it is divided into two or three subgroups. And others say it is divided into three or four subgroups. Some say there are 40 groups of devotees, and others say there are 500 groups. Different devotees see it differently. It's just a matter of seeing it, how you see it, there may be. Just like, for instance, if we wanted to waste our time doing a sociological survey of ISKCON Salem, we could say, well, there's this group and that group and another group. It's not specifically formed, but you could say, well, these devotees, they come together, and these devotees, they come together more. But he also goes there, so maybe there's this group. Maybe there are so many groups. No, there are no groups at all. And it's, what are you talking about? It's just a matter of when we're trying to accommodate in our mind billions of gopis, then it may be easier in our mind to put them into some group like this. And there may be different opinions like that. But the point is, it doesn't really matter. It's not that we're trying to put Krishna in a box and say that there's how many carbohydrates and how many proteins and make up Krishna and then put him in a box and write a PhD on it, and then you become the authority, and then you know everything about Krishna. And it's not possible. Even Krishna himself doesn't know everything about himself. And well, of course he does, because he knows everything, but then his glories are increasing, so the next second, and there's no time in the spiritual world, the next second His glories have increased, so again he doesn't know. Who's going to explain all these things? Don't explain it, just bring Krishna some flowers, that's all. Don't even try to explain. But still, we discuss because it's very relishable to talk about Krishna. And it's very relishable to understand that we can't understand Krishna. The whole Bhagavad philosophy is meant for understanding Krishna, and we can apply our brains very deeply. And then, where do we come to? Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavaya. Okay, I'll just forget trying to understand. Just surrender to him, that's all. Whatever he is, he's much more than we can understand, that's all. But still, it's blissful to discuss how great he is and try to understand according to our limited capacities to do so. So Krishna reveals himself differently to the different devotees. He reveals himself differently to different non-devotees. He reveals himself differently to everyone. This is Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam, the increasing ocean of ever-increasing bliss. And even if you say that now I understood everything about Krishna, then... But Krishna's always changing. He's always the same and he's always changing. There's a nice poem by Vallabhacharya that he... Oh, just look, here he is. Now he's something else. Now he's something else. That's why the perfection of deity worship, you could say, is you offer Krishna, you do puja 3 times a day and offer Krishna a different dress, and every time a new dress. That may not be very practical for us in this world. The pujaris also might get a little overloaded because putting on a new dress takes a little time because you have to fit it nicely. But always, it's always always new. Always new. What is that verse that Brahma says, some people, jananta eva janantu? What is that verse? How does it go? Kimba hukta tame vibhu. Look it up. What is that verse? That's a very nice verse. Jananta eva janantu. Some people may say, I know everything about Krishna, but as far as I'm concerned, Brahma says, who knows more than anyone else in the universe. Kim bahutya na me prabhu. Manaso vapasho vacha. Vaibhavam tava gocharaha. Some people may say, I know everything about Krishna, as far as I'm concerned. And Brahma's got the 4 biggest brains in the whole universe. He says, I don't know. I thought he was just a little boy running around in a field. And then he showed me that he's the Supreme Lord. I thought the Supreme Lord just lies down on the ocean and lotus grows out of his navel and that's all that he does. And time to time he comes as incarnations, and you know, like Ram and Narsimha, and you can tell they're God. But this is God running around with doesn't even have shoes on his feet. What kind of God is that? So Brahma, he understood. I can't understand. And that is the beginning of understanding, right? Where is that stated? Brahma states it himself. Where does he state that? Very famous verse. I'll give you the first word. Jnane. Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva. Brahma says, when you give up the endeavor to know everything and just become a little humble, and then again, shruti kshitapala. Jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiya vartam. And again, hear from devotees and dedicate oneself. Stane stita shudikatam tanuvang mano. Ye praya so jitatitopi api traisi lokyam. So everyone appreciates Krishna differently, and Krishna likes that. And all his devotees are different. The 12 famous devotees are mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, known as the 12 Mahajanas, Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapila, Mano, Prahlada, Janaka, Bhishma, Balaya Vyasakya Vayam. Now, if we think about those 12, they're all very different, aren't they? Brahma, he's very different. Narada is very different to Brahma. Brahma is very sober, sits at the top of the universe, doesn't get involved much. When there's an emergency, he gets involved. Narada, he's out there. He's an active preacher. He's out in the world and making disturbances here and there. And he's very different. And Shiva, there's no one like Shiva. There's no one. I mean, you can try and imitate him by putting on some ashes and sitting in the crematorium, but there's no one like Shiva. Inimitable. It's not recommended to try and imitate Shiva. You can say Shivoham, but you're not Shiva. You can pretend you are. Then the four Kumaras, Kapila, Manu, Prahlada, Prahlad and Janaka, Bhishma, Bali, Shukdev Goswami. Who wants to be like Shukdev Goswami? Walk around naked? Who's going to do that? Don't do it. Yamaraj, who wants to be Yamaraj? He's a great devotee. You can't say he's not a great devotee, but you want to do his service? Not a very nice service, is it? Someone has to do it. And even among the Pandavas, we see they're all very different personalities, aren't they? Yudhishthira, Bhim, Arjuna, Nakul and Sahadev, they're little the same. Because they're junior, they keep a little in the background. Then, Vidura, Kunti is very different to Draupadi. Kunti is very calm and sober, at least when she gets older. But then Draupadi, she's a bit of a hothead. She's very assertive. They're all great devotees. Up to our recent acharyas, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj and Bhaktivinod, very different in their mode of worship. And Bhaktivinod aspired to be like Gaurakishore. He wrote so many songs like that. Svapacha Grihete. What is that? Svapacha Grihete. Bhikkha Magibo. Pibo Sarasati Jal. Pulene Pulene Gora Gori Dibo. Kari Krishna Kolahal. He desired that I will beg food at the house of a dog eater, Chandal, drink the water of the Saraswati River, roll on the ground in Navadvip, calling out Krishna, Krishna. He aspired for that kind of life, but practically he maintained a position because he was a teacher, acharya, a preacher. He maintained a profile of being very sober. But Gaurakishore came to him as a disciple. And then how different is Gaurakishore to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati? How different is our own Prabhupada to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati? If Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had come to the West and with his terms and conditions for joining the Gauriya Mart, no one could have ever joined. But then again, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who could be the disciple of Gaurakishore? Very difficult to be his disciple. People came to be his disciple, but only Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati qualified. He was so much more liberal in terms of letting people be disciples. So we can see devotees, they can be very different, but they're all the same in the matter that they're all fully attached to Krishna. That's the point. Now, again, it doesn't mean that, as Prabhupada points out in this purport, that it's not that pseudo-devotees or non-devotees, it doesn't mean you can be a devotee in any way that you like and you're just a devotee because you say you are. Srila Prabhupada speaks in this purport about bona fide devotees who are conversant with Vedic wisdom, free from mundane sentiment. That qualification fits all the devotees who I've mentioned, the 12 Mahajanas, the Kunti Devi, Draupadi, Vidura. That fits them all. They're all bona fide devotees, conversant with Vedic wisdom, freedom from mundane sentiment. And Srila Prabhupada speaks about there's a process of development from faith to love. So it's not that one can just do anything and think anything and be a devotee. But it's also not that devotional service is featureless, or it's just everyone becomes just the same. Rather, the real personality development, all this talk about personality development, what is it actually? It's actually ego development, because within this contaminated material condition, we identify with our mind and body as ourself. So when we talk about personality development, if we don't understand that I'm eternally a servant of Krishna, then we're only developing the external personality. And even if we say, yes, you should be very humble, and you may be humble from the material platform, but it's still your humble thinking in terms of I am this body and this mind. It's not actual humility. A manifestation of the contaminated consciousness by which one thinks, I should be good, I should be humble, I'll be good, but who am I? That we don't know. We have to be humble in relation to Krishna. Otherwise, any humility or love or compassion, it's all connected with, just like saving the shirt of a drowning man. We didn't recognize that who the person is. Again, Srila Prabhupada gave that example that a man is going away. Oh, my father is going away. He's dying. He's gone away. But where is he? The body's still there, but he's gone away. That means you thought the father was the body. That means you never knew who your father was. You're thinking he loves me, I love him. You never actually knew who he was. You say he's gone away, but the body's still there, and you thought the body was the father. That means you never saw the father. You never understood who the father was. If you understood who the father was, you'd understand he's not actually a father at all, in the true sense. So devotees, there are different realizations, and thus also there are different sampradayas. And different sampradayas, they operate on different realizations of Krishna, different desires of how to serve Krishna. Therefore, there's no real purpose to fight over we are better than Sri Vaishnavas, or they are better than us, or any such thing. It's a different approach, different realization. Of course, in Gaurodesh Deepika, which I was quoting right at the beginning, the Kavi Karnapur says that Krishna, he sees there are different devotees who worship him in reverence, in various moods. I'm going to introduce them to Vrindavan realization. So that's there also. But we shouldn't think that they're wrong. They got it all wrong. No, we shouldn't think like that. Actually, the fighting comes when we get very close to each other. Okay, you're Sri Vaishnava. Jai! Very good, very nice. When we come close to each other, then the difficulties begin. Just like, for instance, someone may say that we'll all agree, yeah, within ISKCON. We have to serve Prabhupada. Yeah, great. But what about all the changes to the books? We should distribute the 1972 edition of the Bhagavad Gita as it is. And everyone's saying how to serve Prabhupada better. But there's a difference of opinion. Some people say, no, you can't change a single word. But then, I don't really want to distribute the Bhagavad Gita where it says that there's a planet of the trees, when Prabhupada clearly didn't mean that. And it's a bunch of nonsense, which the editor didn't realize, and somehow it got printed. And then the problems begin. it can become very intense also. Because you're going to distribute that, Prabhupada, change the words, and you're going to distribute that, and you're going to distribute the words, and you're going to make it look like Prabhupada said there's a planet of trees, where obviously it's pit trees. How to solve all this? Well, there may be no solution. Therefore, Shadatashaya Snigda. We should associate with devotees of the same outlook. What's the next line? Swajata ashaya snigda. Next line is important also. Swajata ashaya snigda. According to ruchi, we should we associate with devotees according to the different taste also. This is actually at the high level. Prabhupada quoted it from time to time. Sva hyphen jata ashaya snigda. Sato vrite. I'm just forgetting some words. Didn't get it? Anyone? No one knows it? Sadhu sang? No one? I'm stuck. All right, anyway, the purport is that we should associate with devotees, and there are different tastes in devotional service also. And according to taste, devotee. So naturally some people, they gravitate to this sampradaya or that sampradaya, or within one sampradaya there are different devotees with different tastes also. But again, we have to be very careful not to mix the mundane inclination with spiritual aspiration. Okay, I'll finish there. And this is a question. You're looking for that also, Madhav Chandra? Just look up the word snigda with a asterisk. You should get it. Prabhupada quotes it sometimes. He's quoted it from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita as a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sadhu Sangha Sato Vrite. Something like that. One should have, it's in the matter of hearing the Bhagavatam, one should associate with devotees of the same caliber, same taste. Here, give it to me, I'll find it. Swajata ashaya snigda. You got the words? No, sva. You're looking at sa. That's my Bengali. Bengali miss. You got it? Swajata ashaya. No. How do you, I can't, I don't know how to use this. It's a different version of the Veda base. How do you make a query? F2? No? Doesn't work. This whole thing. Anyway, take my word for it. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Any question there? Sva. Whoops. I got the wrong word. Sadhu Sangha Satovriti. Snig. Should be enough. No hits. Oh dear. Oh, now we got it. Svajati Snigda. I don't know how to use this version of the Veda base. Okay, we'll leave it. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Any question?
One verse just came to mind. This Anugrahaya
said different.
There's one other verse.
Yeah, Anugraha, the word comes often. It's a common word. In Tamil, they use the word Anugraha?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, this, the devotee, the Lord comes for the. He descends for to give. Different devotees giving mercy, descends. One other verse in third canto that Anugrahaya Bhaktanam Anurupatma Darshanam. That is the verse in the third canto.
Similar. Interestingly, we find that Prahlad, he was meditating on Krishna. He was Matiyana Krishne Paratasvatova, and he's described as Krishna Grastha. Krishna Grahagrasta. He was haunted by the, almost like someone haunted by a ghost, thinking of Krishna. But then Krishna appeared as Nrsimha, and Prahlad eternally worships Nrsimha. These are matters for Sanatan Goswami. He wrote the Brihad Bhagavatamrita discussing so many things, levels of devotees. Still looking?
There's only one verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita Prabhupada quotes, not the full verse.
Yeah, it comes as half a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Swajati
Ashaya Snigdha.
Prabhupada says it's pleasing to the
soul. Oh, he quotes that, but it appears also. Sadhu Sangasato Vritte, that's what it is, I remember it. But it may be, the Sanskrit may be written a little differently. If you see it in the context of Bhakti Rasamrita, see, when we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, I presume that Krishnadas Kaviraj, who wrote it for the learned devotees of Vrindavan, he presumed they're already familiar with all the works of the Goswamis, like that. It's one of the great gifts of Prabhupada, the greatest gift, that he gave us all this wealth of knowledge and culture, and even though we have no background of that knowledge or culture, but he made it intelligible to us. Otherwise, to enter Chaitanya Charitamrita, it requires a very high level of knowledge and rasa jnanam, the knowledge of the mellows of devotional service. Which Krishnadas, he was appointed to write Chaitanya Charitamrita because he was already known as Kaviraj for his writings on his rasa shastra, his Govinda Lilamrita, and his commentary on Krishna Karnamrita. Then last he did Chaitanya. He'd already done that, then he was asked to write Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita he exhibits vast knowledge of so many shastras. He quotes here, there, so many things. All over the place. Did you find it?
No,
Kishore
commented something.
Oh, it's Sajati Ashaye Snigde. Sadho Sangasvato Vare. Thank you very much. If we examine Bhakti Rasamrita, you see that appears in a series of verses. And Sajati Ashaye Snigda Sadho Sange Sato Vritte. I should kidnap Kishore and keep him with me so that he can fill up the verses. But I don't think his wife will agree. In fact, I know she won't agree. Hare Krishna! All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 20, Text 25, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Saha.
Saha.
Upavrajya.
Upavrajya.
Vara.
Varada.
Dam.
Dam.
Rapanna.
Rapanna.
Arti.
Arti.
Haram.
Haram.
Harim.
Harim.
Anugrahaya,
anugrahaya,
bhaktanam,
bhaktanam,
anurupa,
anurupa,
atmadarshanam.
Sa upavrajya varadam,
prapannarti harang harim.
Anugrahaya bhaktanam.
anurupatma darshanam. Saupavraja varadam. Prapannarti harang harim. Anugrahaya bhaktanam. Anurupatma darshanam. Saupavraja varadam.
Prapannarti harang harim.
Prapannarti harang harim.
Anugrahaya bhaktanam.
Anugrahaya bhaktanam.
Anurupatma darshanam.
Anurupatma darshanam.
Saupavraja varadam.
Saupavraja varadam.
Prapannarti harang harim. Anugraha babaktanam.
Anugraha
darshanam.
Anugraha darshanam.
Saupavraja varadam.
Saupavraja varadam.
Prapannarti haram harim.
Prapannarti haram harim.
Anugrahaya
bhaktanam. Anugrahaya bhaktanam. Anurupatma darshanam. Saupavraja varadam. Prapannarti harang harim. Anugrahaya bhaktanam. Anurupatma darshanam. Ladies, please. Saupavraja varadam. Prapannarti haram harim. Anugrahaya bhaktanam. Anurupatma darshanam. Saupavraja varadam. Prapannarti haram harim. Anugrahaya bhaktanam. Anurupatma darshanam. Saupavraja varadam. Prapannarti harang harim. Anugrahaya bhaktanam. Anurupatma darshanam. Saha. Lord Brahma. Upavrajya, approaching Varadam, the bestower of all boons, Prapanna, of those taking shelter at his lotus feet, Arti, distress, Haram, who dispels. Harim, Lord Sri Hari, Anugrahaya, for showing mercy, Bhaktanam, to his devotees, Anurupa, in suitable forms, Atmadarshanam, who manifests himself. Translation. He, Lord Brahma, approached the personality of Godhead who bestows all boons and who dispels the agony of his devotees and of those who take shelter of his lotus feet. He manifests his innumerable transcendental forms for the satisfaction of his devotees. This continuing the theme from yesterday, Chitta Hari Prabhu suggested this verse, and the purport is very much on that theme of the Lord revealing himself to devotees in the forms that they desire. And the purport is very much expounding on that point. Here, the words bhaktanam anurupatma darshanam means that the personality of Godhead manifests his multi-forms according to the desires of their devotees. For example, Hanumanji, Vajrangaji, wanted to see the form of the Lord as the personality of Godhead, Ramachandra, whereas other Vaishnavas want to see the form of Radha, Krishna, and still other devotees want to see the Lord in the form of Lakshmi Narayana. The Mayavadi philosophers think that although all these forms are assumed by the Lord, just as the devotees desire to see Him, actually He is impersonal. From Brahma Samhita, however, we can understand that this is not so, for the Lord has multi forms. It is said in the Brahma Samhita. Can you think of that? Multi forms? The first one I would think of, what is it? Ramadi Murtishu. That's what I would think of, but immediately. But Srila Prabhupada, who had memorized the whole Brahma Samhita, he revealed to a devotee at one point. He says here, Advaitam Achutam. Anadi, Anantarupam. But here Srila Prabhupada only quotes the words Advaita Achyutam. I suppose the transcriber was supposed to fill in the rest, but it didn't happen. Can't change it now. You get shot. Advaitam Achyutam, Anadim Anantarupam. Ramadi Murtishu Kalani Hmena Tishta Nanavataram. The Lord does not appear before the devotee because of the devotee's imagination. This is a very important point, because that's what Mayavadis say, that you just imagine a form of the Lord and then you worship as you like, and then later you understand that you are He and I am we and we are you and it's all one. But I'm more one than you are, because I'm God and you're still in Maya. But that's not the fact. The fact is, as Srila Prabhupada is explaining here, Brahma Samhita further explains that the Lord has innumerable forms. And then Prabhupada quotes, Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niyamena Tishtan. And then again doesn't quote the Nana Avataram. Anyway. He exists in millions and millions of forms. There are 8,400,000 species of living entities, but the incarnations of the Supreme Lord are innumerable. In the Bhagavatam, it is stated that as the waves of the sea cannot be counted but appear and disappear continually, the incarnations and forms of the Lord are innumerable. Does anyone know that? I know the first line. Avataram hi asankhyayam. Hare sattva nidhang nidhaya. Something like that. That's not Sanskrit. Something like that is not Sanskrit. Look it up as we have our mechanical shutidar here. Don't have to be a shrutidhar these days. You just have to bring along your device and just remember one or two words. Avataram, probably Kishore's got it at the other end quicker than us. Avatara hi asankhyayam. It's in the first canto, third chapter. Is it? Avatara, you've got it in a book. Hare Sattva Nidhe Dvija. Yatha Vidasena Kulya. Sarasa. Here we come to the Sarasa. Sarasa Siu Sahasrashaha. Did you find that? Still looking. So, translation.
O Brahmanas.
O Brahmanas. The incarnations of the Lord are innumerable,
like rivulets
flowing from inexhaustible sources of water. We have just a devotee is attached to a particular form, and it is that form which he worships. We have just described the first appearance of the boar within this universe. There are innumerable universes, and somewhere or other the boar form is now existing. All the forms of the Lord are eternal. It is the devotee's inclination to worship a particular form, and he engages in devotional service to that form. In a verse of the Ramayana, Hanuman, the great devotee of Ram, said, coming back to Hanuman, the example of Hanuman has been given in this purport, getting back to Hanuman. The great devotee of Rama said, I know that there is no difference between the Sita Ram and Lakshmi Narayan forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but nevertheless, the form of Rama and Sita has absorbed my affection and love. Therefore, I want to see the Lord in the forms of Rama and Sita. Yeah, this is actually quoted in the Prem Bhakti Chandrikar of Narottam Das, in which he's talking about how you should, the same point, you should stick to your own Ishta Deva and worship your own, the own form that you're attached to. Hanuman taha te praman. And then he introduces the verse, Srinathe janaki nate chabeda paramatmani tatapi mama sarva svam rama kamala lochanaha. I know that Sita Ram, Lakshmi Ram, the same, but as far as I'm concerned, I'm attached to lotus-eyed Rama. Similarly, the Gauriya Vaishnava loves the form of Radha and Krishna, and Krishna and Rukmini at Dwaraka. And Krishna and Rukmini at Dwaraka. Some Gauriya Vaishnavas would argue about that, such as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who says, don't go to Dwaraka, it'll spoil your bhajan. Well, that's what we're talking about yesterday. There may be different opinions. The words bhaktanam anurupatma darshanam mean that the Lord is always pleased to favor the devotee in the particular form in which the devotee wants to worship and render service unto him. In this verse it is stated that Brahma approached Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This form of the Lord is Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. Whenever there is some trouble and Brahma has to approach the Lord, he can approach Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. And it is the grace of the Lord that whenever Brahma approaches about disturbances in the universe, the Lord gives him relief in so many ways. So that topic is nicely discussed there. Yesterday also I was struggling to find a verse, and I'll just say it now, that from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srimad Bhagavat Artanam Asvado Rasikai Saha Shajati Ashaye Snigde Sadho Sangas Fatovare. Rupa Goswami states that the devotees, they should taste the meanings of Srimad Bhagavatam in association with devotees who are fit to relish those topics. And keep association with those devotees who are endowed with a similar kind of affection for the Lord as one oneself has. About this verse we read this morning, just now, Prapanarti Harang Harim, that's practically a definition of the name Hari. One who takes away the distress of those who are surrendered to him. And how does he take away the distress? Anugrahaya bhaktanam anurupatma darshanam, by revealing himself out of his mercy to the devotees. The the distress of the devotees is not seeing him. Govinda virahena me yugayatam nimeshena chakshusha pravrishayatam shunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahena me. The whole universe is empty without you. So the devotees, their distress is in not seeing him. And then he shows himself to them and takes away all their distress. Anything else you'd like to say about this? Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpataru bhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah.